You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Solar-powered radio for open ears.
Allô, c'est Vieux Farka Touré, vous écoutez WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
Remember, during the current WGXC Tower Power Pledge Drive, from now through October 28th, there are three ways to donate. You can go online to wgxc.org/donate. Go to any WGXC or Wavefarm webpage and hit the donate button. Or use the donate button on the Wavefarm app that's now available for both Apple and Android users, and it's free in the App Store. Or, besides going to wgxc.org/donate, you can call 518-697-7400 to make a donation. That's 518-697-7400. And this pledge drive, now through October 28th, you can also make a donation in person at three local record stores. Spike's Record Rack at 395 Main Street in Catskill, John Doe Books and Records at 434 Warren Street in Hudson, and the Boom and Bloom Record and Flower Shop at 2176 Route 145 in East Durham are all also taking donations for WGXC. If you go there and buy a big stack of vinyl records, you can tell them to make part of the proceeds go to WGXC. Just ask about WGXC at the counter. They'll give you a free WGXC bumper sticker if you want, and you can make a donation in person at Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, John Doe Books and Records in Hudson, and the Boom and Bloom Record and Flower Shop in East Durham, or go online to wgxc.org/donate and help out during WGXC's Tower of Power pledge drive.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Delmar Wellness Center of Alachua, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You like music?
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues right here on WGXC. The show is a monthly roundup of new offerings from the worlds of psych, indie, jangle pop, experimental music, and folk, bolstered with enough classic fodder to make them stick.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Tune in to Crawl Out from the Fallout every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
How can you say no to that?
We'll be right back.
Welcome to Forgotten Geek on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Corey McCaslin here with a second Halloween edition. Along with Geek Speak, we'll be hearing spooky tracks from John Carpenter, Norma Tanega, Nine Inch Nails, and more. Before that, I add my voice to the appeal to help continue giving power to the local community radio through our tower. WGXE's radio tower lease comes up for renewal next year, and the financial viability of maintaining a terrestrial FM signal is an issue that'll need to be addressed. We believe in and want to continue providing a space for local voices and experimental radio on the dial. And through this Friday, we'll be looking to add more monthly sustaining donations to help in evaluating the continuation of WJXC on the radio. If you want to add your sustaining donation or increase your existing pledge, go to wavefarm.org or Google WGXC and click on the donate button. We have multiple pay options, including PayPal, Venmo, and even crypto. Thank you for your support and patronage as we head into Geek Speak. Not the bees, my precious. Production House Imaginarium, co-founded and run by Andy Serkis, has signed on to turn The Wicker Man into a TV series. Deadline reports Misfits and Future Man creator Howard Overman is writing an expansion of the 1973 horror classic, remade into a 2006 Nick Cage vehicle that's a classic for completely opposite reasons. Konami made it clear they're leaving behind pachinko machines and apps to return to their roots through the announcement of multiple new Silent Hill installments. But along with a remake of Part 2 and two new entries, Townfall and F, there's the interactive streaming series Ascension set to launch next summer, and a return to the Silver Scream. Director of the original OK at Worst film, Christopher Gans, will return for Return to Silent Hill, promising to be more psychological in nature and take cues story-wise from the second game with some redesigned monsters, though they promise Pyramid Head's iconic look won't be messed with. Legendary Italian studio Titanus, which released a number of Fellini and Visconti's classics in their heyday, are returning to film production after decades with a number of projects, including a surprise legacy sequel to the last Argento film that could be called a classic, not counting Two Evil Eyes, as that was a shared anthology with Romero. Phenomena, the 1985 supernatural giallo that gave Jennifer Connelly her start, and for those unfamiliar, can be summed up as Carrie, but she controls insects and goes to European boarding school, where she's drawn into your typical giallo murder mystery with help from Donald Pleasance and his service animal chimp, is getting a present-day sequel loosely based on the original. As we're already on the subject of sequels and remakes, let's rush through some coming our way, whether we like it or not. Deadline reports Universal and Amblin are meeting with directors for a Twister sequel, which already has a script by The Revenant screenwriter Mark L. Smith that'll focus on the daughter of the late Bill Paxton and the expected-to-return Helen Hunt's characters. Sony announced they're doing their own return to the Karate Kid saga, the wording of said vague announcement seeming to indicate it won't be a reboot, and Cobra Kai co-creator John Hurwitz said on Twitter there's no involvement on their end. At best, there's just fan speculation it could be an origin story for Mr. Miyagi, which was actually what original trilogy director John Allison wanted to do for Part 3. Hurwitz, along with dojo mates Hayden Schlossberg and Josh Held, is, however, filling in some of the margins for Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Variety reports Paramount has tapped them to develop Sam and Victor's Day Off, which will reveal more of what the valets got up to while they were ruining Cameron's dad's Ferrari. Liam Neeson has a very particular set of skills that he's now applying to parody. Deadline reports that based off Maverick's success, Paramount has begun earnest work on a Naked Gun next-gen sequel, negotiating with Neeson to play the son of original hero Frank Drebin, with script by Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers team Dan Greger and Doug Mann, and direction by that film's helmer Akiva Schaffer, under the production of Seth MacFarlane. Netflix has followed up on the success of Coming to America, with the long-delayed return of Axel Foley, production underway for a fourth installment in Beverly Hills Cop, with Murphy back alongside fellow returnees Judge Reinhold, John Ashton, Bronson Pinchot, and Paul Reiser, joined by Taylor Page, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Kevin Bacon, calling the last one as the new villain. Ryan Gosling will go from cleaning up the Double Deuce and being a Ken man in a Barbie world to playing the Fall Guy. Bullet Train director David Leitch will soon start filming a reboot of the mid-80s Lee Majors action show that followed Hollywood stuntmen who moonlight as bounty hunters, Emily Blunt stepping into Heather Thomas's role. Will the following sequel go up to 11? Time will tell, as this is Spinal Tap 2 is headed our way in 2024. Rob Reiner, Michael McKean, Harry Shearer, and Christopher Guest all returning for a new mockumentary chronicling the band's forced reunion to avoid a lawsuit from late manager Ian Faith's widow after she invokes a contract saying they owe him one more concert. Skinamax staple Emmanuel is getting a prestige revival. Deadline reporting Losing It and Happening director Audrey Dewan will make her English language debut for a new adaptation of the 1967 classic erotica novel by Emmanuel Arson, starring Lea Seydoux. Scorsese's going for a redo of his own, signing on to produce and direct the opening episodes of a new adaptation of Herbert Asbury's Gangs of New York for Miramax and showrunner Brett Leonard. Today's first set begins with the theme song for TV's favorite dumb, hapless vampires, the What We Do in the Shadows crew. Here's Norman Tanega's You're Dead.
Don't sing if you want to live long. They have no use for your song. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead. You're dead and out of this world. You'll never get a second chance. Plan all your moves in advance. Stay dead, stay dead, stay dead. Stay dead and out of this world. Run fast, don't stand in the sun. There's too much work to be done. You're down, you're down, you're down. You're down and out of this world. Don't ever talk with your eyes. Be sure that you compromise. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead. You're dead and out of this world. Hear the unloved weeping like rain. Guard your sleep from the sound of their pain. Long gone, long gone, long gone. Long gone and out of this world. When you smile and it tears your face, it's time for the inhuman race. You're down, you're down, you're down, you're down and out of this world. Now your hope and compassion is gone. You've sold out your dream to the world. Stay dead, stay dead, stay dead. You're dead and out of this world.
Thank you.
We just heard the kids of the O'Keefe Music Foundation covering Concrete Blonde's Bloodletting, prior to which was Honoroid Psychosis' version of the Dark Shadows theme, and the set started with You're Dead by Norma Tanaga. Matt Reeves could do this forever, this being expanding his Batverse. The Hollywood Reporter says that in addition to the upcoming Colin Farrell Penguin series, the director is working with writers and directors to build more shows based around the most iconic rogues gallery in all comics. THR saying a few names mentioned so far include the Scarecrow, Clayface, and newer edition Professor Pig. Perhaps that'll include Paul Dano's 7S take on the Riddler, as in an interview with Empire, the actor promoted his 6-issue comic mini Riddler Year One, out today and based on the backstory he created for his take on the character. Get off my helicarrier! The Ankler broke, followed by confirmation from Slash Film. Their earlier rumor has proven reality, as Harrison Ford will step into the uniform of Hulk nemesis General Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross after the passing of William Hurt. He'll make his debut in 2024's Captain America: New World Order, possibly followed by an appearance in Thunderbolts. Further MCU rumors in order of reliability. Whisperer of the prior piece of casting, Jeff Snyder, has followed up with a rumor that he cautions comes from a less trusted source, that Adam Driver has met with Marvel about putting on either the unstable molecule suit of Mr. Fantastic or donning the armor and cloak of Victor Von Doom. Over on Patreon, past verified scooper Daniel RPK says casting for Daredevil Born Again includes mayoral aides to work for Wilson Kingpin Fisk's campaign, indicating the Disney Plus mini may draw from the recent Mayor Fisk book story arc. Multiple Twitter and Reddit sources, followed by the generally reliable Dis Insider, claim the devilish Mephisto will make his debut in Ironheart and immediately generate a new round of My Wife jokes, as it says Sacha Baron Cohen will betray the Lord of Evil, who will take the place of Dormammu as main villain The Hood's supernatural benefactor. Finally, Cosmic Circus is claiming a future Marvel special presentation, one-off a la the recent Werewolf by Night, will focus on the Silver Surfer. Elsewhere in the galaxy, the kids of Star Trek Prodigy won't just be on the run from the original Janeway, but also an old Thorn and Riker side. Ronnie Cox will return as now Admiral Edward Jellico, having last appeared to fill the role of "You're not my real space daddy," while Picard was defiantly screaming about how many lights there are in the classic Chain of Command two-parter. Damon Lindelof's return to franchises and first crack at Star Wars as founder director. Deadline reporting Shireen Obaid Chinoy, helmer of several Miss Marvel episodes and Oscar winner for several short docs, has signed on to help develop the still gestating film. As I haven't seen The Power of the Doctor as I'm writing this, I'm in spoiler-phobe mode, though I have a suspicion how it sets up the following, but I can pass on that it's been confirmed that there will be 3 specials next year starring David Tennant. Our second set is Carpenter and Carpenter-esque, starting with the man and regular collaborator Alan Holworth's dread-inducing warning from Prince of Darkness. Here's This Is Not a Dream. Forgotten Geek continues the Halloween season on WGXC. After This Is Not a Dream from John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness, we heard George C. Music's imagining of what the Doctor Who theme would sound like as done by Carpenter. And then from Lost Themes Volume 1, we heard Wraith. The Tower Power Pledge Drive also continues. WGXC asking for your help in making it easier to renew our FM tower lease next year to continue providing a place on the dial for community voices, experimental radio, and this weird thing I do. We're looking to add just enough more in sustaining monthly donations, so head to wavefarm.org and click donate for multiple options on how to do so. One-time donations are also welcome, and another way to help is to head to one of the three local record stores where shoppers can have a portion of their purchase donated to the station by mentioning WGXC, as well as donation boxes at the counter and a limited amount of WGXC hats and hoodies for sale. Those stores are Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, John Doe Books and Records in Hudson, and Boom and Bloom Records and Flowers in East Durham. Today's last wisp of geek speak is my personal postmortem for Rings of Power and opinion on how Bezos Co. have handled criticism. Anyone who's followed my ramblings know I am as woke as can be without being toxically so. So I say the following of a heart made heavy by the actual content of the show and not in any way because of black elves and female leads. That opinion is truly sorry, but nowhere near as sorry as I wish I was. I'm in the what the hell was that category. I tried. I lashed on elements that were kind of good, mainly Elrond and Durin. Liked one more than a lot of others in spite of the problems, the half-foots, and not just because of Sir Lenny Henry's presence. And deluded myself, though nowhere near to Game of Thrones Season 8 levels, about the main focus character being an okay iteration of the character, my girl Galadriel. Oh, it's so pretty. Ignore the chintziness of the armor and underwhelming set design. But after the dust from newly erupted Mordor settled over the revealed Dark Lord, there was no denying it was a facepalm-inducing mess that even someone who mostly just knows the Jackson movies and the original four books like myself couldn't defend. The moment I knew something had gone horribly wrong was when my friend referred to it as bad fanfic, and I agreed with what I've always considered one of the laziest ways fans criticize a version of their obsession they hate. But said friend is not one to be that type of fan, and so are several others I've read who've echoed that. The showrunners and Amazon writing off all criticism as being misogynist and racist is sour miravore on top of a disappointing second breakfast and just plays into their hands. If it really was, then the ratings on Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb would be lower than they already are. Not that those sites should be treated as sacrosanct, especially the latter, because the way review bombing works is the bomber gives the lowest rating they can, i.e. a 1 or a 10% or whatever on Rotten Tomatoes. Good faith reviews exist and are what has kept it from being in teen single digits or less than 3 stars. So many viewers, including hardcore Tolkienists, who say they might not like what Jackson did with the material but still love most of that as movies unto themselves, went in and tried. Hell, I've seen a number of reviewers go from liking and defending it to throwing their hands in the air by the end. Now, all that said, if anyone listening likes it, great, truly, no judgment. That's great, and continue to go on liking it. I've been there, and a number of times have been exonerated by history, or at worst just maintained a, whatever, I liked it attitude. Kinda feeling that whenever anyone writes off Stranger Things as only nostalgia wank. Ha, thought I was gonna use X era of Doctor Who I like and or defend, didn't ya? And even if there was over-exaggeration of the numbers it's generating, it's still undeniably successful enough in that and buzz, which is what Amazon most cares about, and if that holds well enough in coming years, will justify their investment. That's an eternal fact of Hollywood. Shows and movies quote-unquote everyone hate continue for years, decades even. That said, the second season's reception will be make it or break it. I will give it another chance, maybe even two, and hope it changes for the better. And then this is what could have been, and I swear I'm not thinking or saying any of the following would be better received by me or anyone else in our boat. A profile piece by THR revealed 2 rejected pitches before Patrick McKay and J.D. Payne's Bezos-backed pitch got the green light from the estate. HBO wanted to readapt LOTR as a more faithful TV series, while Netflix wanted a whole series of connected shows focused on major characters from the trilogy. Anyway, today's penultimate set begins with Nemesis Man's Arle Joel.
Sun is shining in the night. Zombies walking in the broad daylight. Zombie he done lost his soul. Zombie he don't ever get old. Lord of darkness, king of light, come here on this stormy night. There is no star in the sky. I see fire in the dead man's eyes. Mama light, Papa light. I see fire in the dead man's eyes. Mama light, Papa light. I see fire in the dead man's eyes.
Touch me, touch me. My hand, let me see what's in the sand. Man is boy, and boy is man. There ain't no boss, there is no man. I'll spit my spit in your spit. Then the seven snakes come up from the pit. I'll stand under my little tree. There you go.
Mama lie, Papa lie. I see fire in the dead man's eyes.
that nobody breaks.
Jingle, jingle, he's dead. He can't see from the back of his head. They tied 10 onions round my navel string. They baked it and cut it, and they made it into a ring. Come on, Shango, say some comfort. Let me speak when I can.
Mama lie, mama lie, I see fire in the dead man's eye. Mama lie, mama lie, I see fire in the dead man's eye. I see fire in the dead man's eye. I see fire in the dead man's eye.
After Orale Joel by Nemesis Man, we heard Mama Loy, Papa Loy by Exuma. The final block today mashes up a longtime favorite I just rewatched, and a new favorite I'm very late jumping on the train. To start it off, here's Prom Queen with Stranger Peaks.
Thank you.
aware that I'm tearing you asunder.